So today's reading is from the book of Psalms, chapter 29, a Psalm of David. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning, and the voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forests bare, and in His temple all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as King forever. The Lord gives strength to His people. The Lord blesses His people with peace.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much indeed, John. Unfortunately, despite having printed the wrong music for one of the songs, I have printed the right sermon to go with the right psalm this morning. Let me pray as we come to God's Word together. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that You are the God who speaks. We thank You that Your voice not only sounds, but does, that Your voice acts with great power. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that that might be the case this morning. That even in one sense, in the quiet of this building, that none of us might be unmoved by hearing You in Your Word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you've been here before, then you'll know that at the chapel we tend to put the passage up on the screen. That will be the case this morning. We think that it's vitally important that as the preacher preaches, the congregation is able to follow, able to scrutinise what's being said. Is what the preacher is saying really in line with what God is saying? That's why there's a Bible on every chair. That's why we put the passage up on the screen as well. But not every week do we not only put the passage on the screen, but we put it above the screen as well. The sign there, some of you will be able to see it, some of you might be slightly lost in the rafters. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 29, verse 2. There it is. Now, I don't know exactly how long that sign has been there. I imagine that some of the longest standing members at the chapel, if you hang around a little bit after this service and speak to people like Joan and Sheila, they'll probably be able to tell you how long the sign's there. They'll probably be able to tell you who made it, who affixed it to the wall. I do know that when we repainted the chapel a couple of years ago, I inquired about whether the sign needed to stay and was told in no uncertain terms that yes, really it ought to. But it sounds great, doesn't it? What a great thing to have on the wall. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Or as we have it in our translation, the NIV, worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Sounds like a good thing to be encouraged to do. Good reminder to people that as we gather in church together, and beyond that, as we live out our lives, we ought to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. That's how David begins Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. It's a call to give to God what God is due. to give to him what he deserves, to recognize the magnificence of God and to respond accordingly, to see that God is uniquely and perfectly mighty in strength, to see that he is supremely glorious and holy, and having seen that, to say that, to ascribe those things to him, to worship. What a summons. And did you pick up who David is talking to there in verse 1? Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. David doesn't just have a local vision here in Psalm 29. He doesn't even just have a national vision. It's not something he's merely encouraging his people in Israel to do. He calls upon the heavenly beings. He calls upon the angels to worship. David sees that God deserves universal praise and honor. That everything and everyone in the heavens above and on the earth below ought to be doing this. We're going to sing about it in a little while. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, you creatures here below. Praise him above, you heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. God is so worthy of worship. It is right and good that everybody and every being out there worship him in the beauty of holiness. That may be quite a simple sign up there on the wall, really, but it is saying something absolutely massive. It is a call to stand more, and it is a call to worlds unseen. But to see more fully why we ought to join in, why we ought to join in the heavenly worship in this way, well, we must read on. Because in the rest of the psalm, David is going to describe for us vividly and poetically the strength, the glory, and the holiness of God. He's going to give us a sense of the beauty, the splendor of those things. The rest of the psalm is the fuel, if you like, to stoke the fire and fan the flames of our worship. So let's go gather some fuel, shall we? Have a look down again, or if you prefer, you can have a look up as I read verses 3 to 5. And as I read, we're going to play a little game of spot the repeated idea, okay? So pay attention, that's what we're looking for. Spot the repeated idea. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. Okay, so maybe it's not a very difficult game. Anybody spot it? Anyone spot any repeated ideas, any repeated phrases there in those verses? Not a rhetorical question. You can shout them right out. The voice of the Lord. Four times in just those three verses. If we read all of verses 3 to 9, we find it 7 times. The voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord. David sees that God's strength, his glory, and his holiness are in some way connected to, or in some way displayed by, his voice. God's voice, which is not merely heard, it is seen. As David describes the events and the effects of the voice of the Lord here, we find the real origin, we find the real source of power in the world. Because God's voice is not merely the source of some sort of performance, like the voice of an opera singer or something like that. It is the means of his activity. What God's voice says is what God does. It's true more generally, not just of God, it's true of people as well. We all recognize this to some extent. It's what's known as speech act theory. The idea that words, that someone's voice, doesn't just issue a sound, but it actually makes something happen. So like the teacher who stands up at the end of the test and says, okay, time's up, pens down. By the very act of saying the words, pens down, they're not intending to simply communicate some information. A student sitting in that test shouldn't hear the invigilator say, pens down, and look around and think, no, pens aren't down. They're wrong about that. Those words are intended to bring about the very reality they describe. Speaking the words, pens down, brings into being the downing of the pens. Well, just so God works by his word, his speech, his voice is his activity. Only unlike for people who might intend that to be the case, but might not always find it so. The teacher might say, pens down, but there might still be some scamp at the back of the class scribbling away, trying to grab an extra 30 seconds before they notice. For God, God's word always perfectly and completely achieves its intended action. God's word always works. The kind of the premier example of that in the Bible is creation. Back at the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis, God brought all things into being. How? By his word, by speaking through his voice. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. David echoes that idea of creation here, I think, in verse 3 when he says, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. Just as the Spirit of God in Genesis 1:2 hovered over the waters. So we're being reminded here that the voice of the Lord has ultimate creative power. God's voice brings things into being. And then here in Psalm 29, what is the voice of the Lord doing? Well, it is whipping up a storm. That's what's described in verses 4 to 9. The voice of the Lord sweeping across the land like a great tempest. There's a few places named in the psalm. And Lebanon and Sirion there in verse 6. The desert of Kadesh, there in verse 8. Now, some of the commentators, probably geography and weather nerds, my kind of people, they think that David is describing the kind of storms that sometimes hit Israel, that come sweeping in from the west, from off the Mediterranean Sea, and into Lebanon, to the north of Israel, and then down across Sirion, mentioned there in verse 6, that's a mountain, also known as Mount Hermon, and then over the whole land, sweeping onwards until it reaches the desert of Kadesh, which is down in the southeast of Israel, down where kind of Jordan and places like that are. And this isn't just a minor squall that's being described here in the psalm. The Judean Weather Service is going to be giving this one a name. There's going to be travel disruption. People are going to need to keep an eye on the forecasts because the impacts are going to be significant. Verse 5, the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf, Syria like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forests bare. The voice of the Lord, the earth is shaken and twisted. The immovable, the mighty cedars, those huge trees in Lebanon are turned to kindling. The forests are stripped bare. The lands and mountains are caused to leap like startled animals. The wind and the rain, the lightning and the thunder, when the voice of the Lord sounds over the land, the impact is utterly unmissable. This is the massive scale, this is the measure of splendor and awesome power which the voice of the Lord displays. Like the hurricane that wrenches boats from their moorings and lifts homes from their foundations. The voice of the Lord turns everything upside down. And when confronted with this kind of majestic power, well, David thinks that people ought to heed his call and ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. And at the end of verse 9, all those in his temple, maybe those who in the face of this coming storm have sought shelter there, well, they do just that. They all cry, glory! God's power, that the power of the voice of the Lord is startling. It is glorious. But we have to say, it is intimidating, isn't it? Because this psalm isn't a description of serenity, it's a description of a storm which brings destruction. Interestingly, verse 10 then begins, "The Lord sits enthroned over the flood." The word for flood there is a word which appears very infrequently, actually, in the Old Testament. In fact, apart from here in Psalm 29, it appears just 12 other times, and all of those come in Genesis chapters 6 to 9, which is the account of Noah and the waters of judgment by which God flooded the world. The voice of the Lord has creative power, but the voice which can build is therefore also the voice which can take apart. God sits enthroned, God reigns over the flood. The voice of the Lord is strong and glorious, but it is not to be trifled with, for it is the voice of the eternal King. Some of us may have a very little view of God. Some of us may think very little of him and of his voice. Indeed, we may think of God as silent or good as. We might think that if God's voice is heard in our world or in our lives, it's little more than a desperate squeak as God pleads for our attention. David says to the heavenly beings and to us, sit up and take notice. Hear the voice of the Lord. See what the voice of the Lord is like, what it can do. Picture yourself standing on that mountain as the gale tears the limbs from the tree and the earth shudders beneath your feet. Picture the scene as Noah and his family peer out of the window of the ark and watch the final treetop disappear beneath the waves. Picture the moment that the chariots of Pharaoh watch as the towering walls of the Red Sea begin to ripple and then topple and surge upon them. The voice of the Lord is strong and glorious, and therefore it is not to be trifled with. Ascribe glory and strength. Give God his due. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. And in him, find a place of safety and shelter. That's where Psalm 29 leads us. Again from verse 10, the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. And I come from a camping and caravanning family. And I know we've got a few of them here. And we need to be honest enough to admit that we can be a bit of an old bunch, frankly. But camping and caravanning can give you a real appreciation of nature. Because of course you're very close to it. Some of you might think, yes, frankly, far too close. That's the problem. If you want to get a real sense of the power of the wind and the torrent of the rain, then sitting in a storm, in a tent, or in a caravan is a pretty good way to go about it. And frankly, even a mild breeze in the gloom can feel like it'd be enough to lift you up and away. But once, when we were kids, somewhere along the south coast, Dorset, somewhere like that, I think, one August, we were camping out in the middle of a storm that was bad enough to cause us to decamp in the pitch black in the middle of the night. The sort of situation where we either took the tent down or the elements took it down for us. When you've been out in the storm like that, you slept the night in the car as we did. Well, the next morning, when the winds have dropped and the clouds have cleared and the warmth of the summer sun burns through and dries the sodden ground remarkably quickly, well, you have the most serene sense of peace. Because it's such a stark contrast to what has gone before. And those two verses are like that, aren't they? What a remarkable contrast to what has gone before. The lightning and the thunder, the cedars smashed, the land leaping and shaking, the oaks twisted, the forest bare. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. The voice of the Lord has creative power, and the voice which can build is therefore also the voice which can take apart. And therefore the voice of the Lord is also the one who can shelter us from that storm. There are, I think, some echoes here in this psalm of Exodus, of the song that they sing in Exodus chapter 15, the song the people sang when God had saved them, when God had brought them through the Red Sea, through the waters of judgment. Because when you are his people, well, what peace to hear the Lord's voice. Like hearing the voice of your father and mother when you're in trouble. The strong God who gives strength to his people. The voice of the Lord who could stand on the boat in the midst of the sea as the wind and the waves raged, and as those around him, wide-eyed with fear, thought they must surely die. The voice of the Lord which could sound out clear and true, quiet! Be still. And so it would be. Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? The king who can bring the storm is the king who can calm the storm. And friends, this is our God. The God whose power is incalculable and whose peace surpasses understanding. And today we can hear his voice because we have his word. Yes, God reveals himself, God speaks by the majesty of the creation that he's authored. And he speaks by his word. Words of power, words of justice, words of hope and love and grace and salvation. Words which change things. Words which change people. The Dutch theologian Herman Babink puts it like this: the word of God is never separate from God, nor from Christ. Just as scripture was not just inspired at one time by the Holy Spirit, but is continually sustained, preserved, and made powerful by the Spirit, so it is with the word of God, that taken from the scripture, is preached in some fashion to people, always and everywhere. The word of God is a power of God, a sword of the Spirit. It is always efficacious. It is never powerless. If it does not raise people up, it strikes them down. The voice of the Lord is not to be trifled with, but it is to be treasured more than anything. Treasured above all else. Let us have ears to hear and eyes to see the voice of the Lord. And as we recognise his words and the work he does by them, let us heed the call. Let us be true worshippers who worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, in the splendour of his holiness. Let's pray. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendour of his holiness. Our Father, give us a bigger vision of who you are. Give us an ears to hear. Give us hearts ready to listen. And to be impacted, to be affected, to be changed by your voice as you speak to us through your word and empowered by the Spirit. Heavenly Father, we praise you that just as David knew that your voice was powerful, well, so it is every bit as powerful today. When we think about the impact that it has had on our own lives, Heavenly Father, give us hearts to truly reflect and to respond with praise and worship, to ascribe to you the glory, strength, and honour that you are due. Please let us be listeners, please let us be hearers, and please let us be worshippers. Please let us truly worship you together in the splendour of your holiness. For in you, and only in you, do we find our peace. We praise and thank you, and we do so in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing together our final hymn this morning, Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Let's stand and sing.